Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Party Friday. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden here, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up. Chuck, on his way back from the world headquarters of the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle, putting out the newspaper this week. So he'll be joining us just as soon as he gets here. Holy cow. What a Party Friday to talk about. We hope to be getting Representative Brandi Bradley on in a second to talk about the scam that the legislative session, the special session they're having coming up. Plus, she's had like millions of views on a tweet. Her 15-year-old son has an insane art teacher. You won't believe what this art teacher is trying to teach the kids. Then we've got Kamala Harris and the DNC, and then RFK Jr. If you haven't heard, RFK Jr. just a couple of hours ago dropped out of the race, or he was running as an independent, essentially gave the middle finger to the Democrats, gave an awesome speech about why he was dropping out and how the Democrat Party has changed. And then he endorsed Donald Trump. Totally, I think, among other things, stealing the thunder from the joy, the exuberant Kamala joy from the DNC wrapping up all of a sudden the headlines. And you can tell that RFK's speech, if you haven't heard it, I really recommend you listen to it, at least excerpts of it, because I think he says stuff out loud that kind of Republicans have been saying, but as a Democrat, he talks about why he's leaving the Democrat Party and why he's dropping out and why he's endorsing Trump. You can tell that he hit a nerve because all of the networks immediately dropped out of it. Right. When you look at the networks, when you look at conservative media sites, when you look at Twitter, places like that, they're going, oh my God, listen to what he's saying. This is amazing. This is great. It's one of somebody that, you know, the greatest speeches maybe of a generation, right? And then CNN and ABC and MSNBC, all they simply say is he jumps out, he drops out, and his entire family denounces him, right? They don't talk about zero talking about why he dropped out or anything like that. It's just crazy. So we have Brandi with us telephonically. Brandi, hey, thank you for your time this afternoon. Happy Friday.
Hey guys, how are you?
We're good. We're good. You can't see. Chuck is not here yet. He's on his way out of the office. But before we get into the special session, there's so much to talk to you about. You have bazillions of views on a tweet. School has started. You have a 15-year-old. Your 15-year-old is taking art. And what kinds of things can you share? What kinds of things is your 15-year-old son learning in the first few days of school about art?
Oh, no. Let me preface this. This is world history. It's not even art.
Oh, it's world history. Oh, I thought it was art. Oh, my God.
No.
Okay.
No. So my son comes home. We have a very clear language between us. I tell my children, first day of school, if you're asked for your pronouns, I want to know about it. DCSD policy is no compelled speech. Teachers cannot ask for your pronouns. So first day of school, a teacher asked for his pronouns, and I sent a very nice email to the teacher, first year teacher, and the teacher did not know that that was district policy and sent me a very nice reply. We had a very great open communication, and I met him at back to school night. It was awesome. And then another teacher told my son that Da Vinci was gender fluid and that the Mona Lisa was a depiction of his feminine side. But we got to that because my son had asked me what gender fluid means. And there's no classroom where a teacher needs to be discussing what gender fluid means in world history. That has nothing to do with anything.
No. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with anything anywhere, right? I mean, in math class, which of course it could come up. And you got to wonder, so this is just, no offense to public school teachers, but this isn't some great art historian who spent, you know, 50 million master's theses writing about Leonardo da Vinci, right? This is just some woke teacher spewing nonsense out of a woke agenda, basically, right?
Yes, and I think that the it's being fun that I'm against teachers. And for the record, my sister, sixth grade science teacher, my mom was a teacher. 99.9% of teachers are wonderful, amazing human beings that are sick of rogue, woke teachers pushing right. false narratives and fake science onto our children.
Well, and even if you, here's the bottom line too, right? That's to say you have a teacher who wants to do this. What the notion that as parents, we're just supposed to be shutting up about it, right? And that we're bad if we say, hey, I don't like that you said that, right? I mean, forget even the notion that a teacher would say that because stuff happens. Okay. But this pushback on parents for speaking up and saying, hey, I don't want you talking about that, or I don't agree with that. And I imagine if your son had tried to raise his hand and say, hey, I don't really think that that's been the official interpretation of Leonardo da Vinci, then you all get in trouble, right?
So they're counting on children not, or they're counting on children trusting adults. And that's why we're seeing this false gender ideology being pushed on children. It's like the low-level voter being pushed the lies that Kamala Harris isn't the border czar and you know, wants tax cuts for the middle class and all of the lies they're telling the low-level voter. They're doing this in first grade to children because we view teachers as these trusted adults. And so the narrative isn't going to be challenged by children in the classroom. And so as parents, we have to wake up to these ideologies being pushed onto our children.
Right. Right. Well, and you know, I'll give you an example. So we have a 13-year-old, right? Which is that's an entire different species all to their own, right? And so today it was award day. They were given the honor roll awards for last semester, right? Rev, bless his heart, is in the high honor roll, straight A's, right? He's a great student. And all the other kids. And so they do. And it's lovely that this school, I love our school, the Academy of Charter Schools, that they do this, right? And the it's packed, and all the kids who had like honor roll, then, you know, 3.5 through 3.9, and then the 4.0 things. And of course, all the proud parents were there and were taking pictures, and not one of the kids smiled for the pictures, right? And I was saying to Rev, I'm like, he had said to me before we went, he goes, look, don't ask me to smile. He's like, you don't smile. I'm like, what do you mean you don't smile? I'm proud of you. And he goes, I know you're proud of me, but please don't say smile when you're taking my picture because that's too embarrassing, right? And none of them smiled, right? And they all have the exact same uniform. And I think teachers can take advantage of this, right? As parents, we have to be mindful of how important peer acceptance is at these very influential ages where you don't even smile for pictures right now because it's not cool. So you're right. It's going to take an extraordinary child to raise their hand and say, hey, I don't agree with what you're saying. And so there's no one to protect them except us parents really at this stage, right? Or would you agree?
I completely agree. And you're talking about children being raised in a two-parent household. What about the children that are being sexually assaulted at home, trafficked at home, abused at home? What about those children that are supposed to go to a safe, trusted adult in the schools? And the schools are now lying to these children about false ideology. What happens to those children? Those are the children that I'm fighting to protect.
Right. Well, you know, and when I was a reporter, I did stories about those kids. And you're right. There are many kids for whom school is a safe haven. And it's their only safe haven, right? And when the kids know that they can't trust those people either, it's like, what are we doing to generations of kids who have
Julie,
no safe
haven? School was my safe haven. I grew up in a horrifically abusive home. And not to get emotional, but that was my safe haven. And I didn't have an LGBTQ flag preventing me from telling one of my gay teachers who embraced a Christian conservative and got me out of an abusive household. I can't imagine if that man had turned his back on me. I will not allow these teachers to continue to do this to children. It is my personal mission.
Oh, Brandy, that's amazing. And that's amazing that you're able to take that and learn from that. And again, and thank God for the teachers who gave you a safe place. And as parents, you know, we need to make sure if our homes aren't safe places, that our kids have a place they can go and have a place they can trust. And because it's hard, you know, it's hard growing up, right? Sometimes I often say, you know, I had a lovely home growing up, and it's like, if I knew what it was like, I would have never left home. Thank goodness. Right. But it's hard enough. And I think, thank goodness for people like you who fight every step of the way to make it as easy as we can for our kids. Cause they have so much out there. I mean, it's just life really, I think. So, thank you for fighting and for pointing that kind of stuff out.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let me move on then to something else. And where you are protecting us too, right? So we're reading, and Chuck is here now for folks who have just joined. Chuck is back from the office.
It's flood out there.
Yeah, it's pouring.
Hi, Chuck.
Hey, how's it going, Brandy?
So the special session next week, the legislators are convening a special session on property taxes. Advance Colorado had come up with a couple of ballot initiatives. The legislature couldn't pass property tax cuts that everybody could agree on. So it got some ballot initiatives. So all of a sudden now, rather than just letting voters decide, it seems to me that the Democrats, Governor Polis, and a bunch of big businesses, nonprofits, and other vested interest groups have gotten together and are making backroom deals in the special legislative session. And then they're going to, if that works and they get the backroom deals that they like, they're going to pull the ballot initiatives out, right? Can you kind of set the stage for us? And then where do you stand on all of that?
Well, Julie and Chuck, if I had not just received the updated bill draft, I would be able to let you guys in on it. I don't know that any of us know. Whenever we go into a special session for property tax relief, which was supposed to happen in November, it ends up being all but for property tax relief. The last one, we ended up robbing Colorado taxpayers of $1 billion in Tabor surplus. So, you know, we're expecting to go in for property tax relief. I have no idea what that means. I wish I could tell you guys. I know that there's been some deals. I've heard Governor Owens has been part of this process. I did hear that there have been some constitutionality problems with some of the ballot initiatives. And so therein lies some of the problems. And that's why Michael Fields has come to the table. I have not spoken to him directly. I did send him a message that he never replied to. I guess I'm just not that important. So I think that we all show up on Monday and we have clearly no idea except for the people that have had a seat at the table.
Well, to me, it's like, let's just let the voters decide, right? I mean, Colorado Freedom Force put out a statement, which I agree with. I think these are people who are worried that voters are going to say, hey, guess what? We want to keep some of our tax dollars. And they're going to say, the government says, well, no, we need more of those tax dollars, without thinking about maybe just cutting spending. And so to me, it's like, that's just put it to the voters. And you know what? If the people of Colorado vote for some of these tax cuts, great. If the people of Colorado vote against it, then we'll all live with that. But I am suspicious. And, you know, Michael Fields and Advance Colorado, I think those people, when you say, Chuck, they're funded by some pretty heavy power hitters, I think.
Well, it's a Phil Anschutz offshoot. What people don't understand is they start out, okay, let's get a compromise between Colorado Concern, who was for the tax raises, and the people who proposed it, the propositions. And what people don't realize is that's Anschutz arguing with Anschutz. Anschutz is the biggest contributor to Advance Colorado. Anschutz is the leading person in Colorado Concern. It's Phil Anschutz talking to Phil Anschutz, and what they'll come up with is plenty of tax relief for commercial properties,
yeah,
and almost nothing for homeowners. And the fact that Governor Owens is in is even worse news. I mean, he was, yeah, the one who got screwed us on Tabor when he was in. I mean, he wanted to get rid of basically Tabor. So now,
when
we've got
you hear that there's some deals with RWR, which my constituents are definitely not going to go for. I mean, listen, the bottom line is that there are a group of us that will not vote for anything that puts our constituents at risk for any type of increase. We will not do it. We will hold the line, and that is what will happen. And if others are not going to hold the line, we will make sure that we go on shows like yours and we tweet it, and we make sure that the constituents of Colorado know who is not going to hold the line for the people of Colorado.
Have you ever seen Republicans in your entire life ever
Except for you guys.
win a bargaining session? I haven't, and I've been around for quite a while. I've never seen them win, in part because the Republicans always go, oh, yeah, let's make a fair deal. Okay. And the Republicans go, how can we screw these hayseeds out of
The
everything?
Democrats, you mean?
Yeah, well, how can we cheat these hayseed Republicans out of everything? Because everything they propose is a tricky one. And all the Republicans go, oh, okay, that'd be good. And so if this is going to be a screw job, it'll be a bipartisan screw job, and which taxpayers will get killed. The special districts and the governmental ones will remain incredibly fat. They go, oh, well, this is for local ones. Your fire department doesn't need another day off. Your library, which has been superseded by and large by the internet, does not need millions of more dollars. It is a screw job, a bipartisan screw job. And I promise you, whatever, when you see the bill among the insiders, which is just Phil Anschutz talking to Phil Anschutz, it'll be a bad deal. It inevitably be a bad deal.
Senator Baisley and Senator Van Winkle is introducing a bill in the Senate that will propose a baseline budget for some of these special districts so that when property taxes go up 47%, they don't get 47% of that. So he's going to really try to reduce these property taxes. And when you need a new fire truck in your fire district, you have to go to the people and ask for that. And so we are going to try, and I'm going to sponsor it in the House. And it is, I think it's a real life system to bring back to the voters and give them the responsibility of these special districts to go back to the public and ask for that. I mean, it's just as simple as me needing a new car, but not being able to budget for said new car right now. I mean, my husband got a new truck, and that's what our family can afford right now. And in the next year, maybe we can afford for me to get a new truck. The same thing the special districts need to be responsible for. You can't just go out and buy a $1 million fire truck. You have to ask the community, you know, for those funds. And I think we need to get back to doing that. And I think that Senator Baisley is so knowledgeable and wise beyond his years. And he has what I think is the perfect solution. And I think that it will probably be killed upon committee. And when that does happen, he will bring that to the ballot. And that's what we're going to work on. So I want the people of Colorado to know that we have brought some bills that we will bring forward. And when they do get killed, we will bring those to the ballot. And we do know that we have the power to do that. So not all is lost.
Yeah, well, being the present ones to the ballot. Having worked with lots of fire districts and fire departments, they don't really care about the truck. They care about another day off and their salary boost that they'll hide as another truck. It's just human nature. They don't care about the damn fire truck. They're happy with the present. They're not happy with the present salary and never are. And Senator Baisley has sold us out before. When he looked into the election of for chair of Colorado after what's her name got cheated out of it, he sold her down the stream.
Susan Beckman?
Yeah, Susan Beckman. That was a great investigation in which they had all the proxies stolen.
Chuck is cynical, Brandy.
Hey,
that's
is
okay. I understand. I get it.
Right. But there are exceptions. Van Winkle is an exception, so I trust him.
Yeah.
And I trust you, and I trust maybe seven of the entire Republican caucus, which isn't very big. And all the rest of them are total sellouts. They're rhino establishment ones that can't wait to bow down to whatever the Democrats are doing.
Let me ask you this, Brandy. What do you think? Because I want to move on to another issue here, too.
No, this is the biggest one.
No, because I want to talk about Steve Peck, the Douglas County
Well, we can
chairman.
Talk about him, too. He's just another
but
one.
What do you, I mean, the good news is, I think, just as somebody who wants to see this go to the voters, is there is too much money, too many special interests, too many divergent ideas here. I mean, they've been trying forever to get this done. What do you think the odds are that they're going to come up with something that Polis is going to sign? Do you think
in Polis you have to worry about?
Well, but you know what I'm saying, just to get it. What do you think the odds are that something will actually get done?
Which will be bad news.
Oh, I think that there's one bill that's going to go through and Polis is going to sign it. And I think the Democrats think that they have got bills that they're going, that they have told that they think are going to go through. And I think he's going to veto them. And I think that they're sadly mistaken that he is going to let any of their bills go through. I think that this is going to be the biggest circus you've ever seen hit the state of Colorado.
Well,
I've seen a lot of circuses. So,
well, and the circus will be a clown act on homeowners because it always is. It always is.
Because there are, no, the only people who aren't at the table
are the homeowners.
Are the homeowners.
Bill Anschutz representing both sides against the middle. Governor Owens, could you pick out a worse Republican for reining in government spending than Mr. Tabor Destroyer? I mean, who brought that clown in?
Well, he's a lobbyist. So.
Oh, okay. He's a lobbyist. Perfectly.
Also, so the big.
Yeah, yeah. Bring Governor Owens in. We'll really get the shaft then.
Well, Brandy, will you keep us posted on? I do find it interesting that the session starts like Monday, right?
And you haven't seen the bill.
I haven't seen the bill.
And you won't see the bill, and it'll have an incredible number of provisions that you won't be able to be ready for because they've already snuck them in on something that sounds equitable, but is really just a screw job, particularly since they get to enforce the bill. Polis does and other people. So they get to interpret what it really says, not what the homeowners think it says. And then you can always go to the Colorado courts and you'll be all set because not a single judge has been appointed that is active, that isn't appointed by a Democratic governor. So you can rest assured, you can go to the courts and they will give you the remainder of the ream job. And it'll be very happy. It'll be very happy for everybody. Maybe I'm being a little cynical, but I've watched this dozens of times and it always comes out the same.
The good news is God is in charge and maybe he's waking the people of Colorado up. And that's all that helps me sleep at night. So
there you go. Let me ask you this and moving to, so Steve Peck, who is the chair of the Republican Party in Douglas County, there is the Trader Todd is having his meeting this weekend, I think. And Steve Peck is almost as awful as our Adams County chair, Daniel Bellefontaine, except for Steve Peck is a little bit more honest about his positions. But he's gone like off the deep end. And you were at a meeting recently where we have all these rhinos who are trying to get rid of the grassroots party leadership, and they don't care if they have to have fake petition to hold fake meetings and fake votes. But talk a little bit about, because you had shared and people have been talking about Steve Peck's, I guess he's God in Douglas County or something now, right? And he determines all of the moral and philosophical and political values, and he is the one who decides everything. Is that the deal?
Oh, no. Steve Peck's God to maybe 15% of Douglas County. I mean, not to 85% of Douglas County. No, I think that he had aspirations of maybe being whispered to that he could run for state party chair. He told me now that he's not running for state party chair. And we've had some, you know, very heated conversations and we've had some very good conversations as of late. And I told him he needs to do his due diligence. And I know that Christy Burton Brown's been whispering in his ear about running for state party chair. And I said that if you're going to be the chair of the DC GOP, that you need to get the other side of the story. And he hasn't talked to Dave Williams and he hasn't heard his side of the story. And if you're going to chair one of the most conservative counties and you've only heard one side of the story and you've been promised puppy dogs and rainbows, then shame on you for not hearing the other side. So he has assured me that he is going to sit down and have a conversation. I've heard that KBB has offered him all kinds of congressional support by Jeff Crank and even Lauren Boebert and some other names. Now, I'm not going to throw them under the bus because I have not specifically talked to any of them, but very interesting to me that she can promise all this congressional support for people to run against Dave Williams. You know, I didn't know she had that much power.
I was going to say, where is she getting that from, right? She's, it's like, she, that's very suspicious, I guess, I find, right? I mean,
the story for me is this. We have 80 days until an election. We have several swing seats where people are pouring their heart and soul to run for districts where they want to bring Colorado back to restore some sort of unity or some sort of centristic belief, and you have a party willing to destroy that instead of going after the real enemy of the state, we're willing to take down our state party chair. I said, I don't care how you guys feel about Dave Williams. Do it on November 6th. But until then, you work and you knock doors instead of going to a sham illegal meeting. You walk doors and you knock and you get people elected in the swing seats that are putting their hearts and souls on the line to represent districts right now. You don't go to a sham meeting.
Right. Brandy, I absolutely agree. It's like you guys have, we've got the property tax issue in the legislature, right? Like you said, we've got people, you know, I know up here in HD 29, you've got a guy running and he's pouring his heart and soul and people are working hard and he doesn't even have much of a chance, right? And the district he's in, but there are seats that where they do have, and I agree with you. You know, I mean, we liked it. We love Dave Williams, but if you don't, there's a time to deal with that and a place to deal with it. But in the meantime, these are people and KBB and all of those people, it's like, I still say, and I know you probably won't, but I'll say, shame on them. We need to be working hard to get Trump elected, to get Republicans elected. And we can deal with all of that later. It's just a matter of weeks, really.
Well, I remember the last candidate who had incredible congressional support, and that was Scott Gessler against KBB, who at the time pretended she was a grassroots person. And it did Scott Gessler no good. Yeah. They say, well, fine, you know, whatever. And so they can have all the congressional support they want. It really doesn't matter to the average Republican what Jeff Crank wants to do. You know, it is, as you said, Brandy, there's not a lot of time left, especially with early voting and all of that. And to spend all your time attacking the party chair, you know, and then when the election goes badly, it'll be Dave Williams' fault. Yeah. It's just sad.
It is. I'm sad for the people that are running and putting their heart, and I'm sad for the ballot initiatives that we need to be educating the people about. The pro-aborters have raised $25 million. The pro-lifers have raised $5 million. And instead of putting our attention and focus on that, we're infighting. It's truly unbelievable to me as a fierce Republican that's what we're focusing all of our energy on. I mean, we can do better. This is ridiculous. Our kids are being groomed, indoctrinated. We have perverts coming after our children in the classrooms, and this is what we're going to fight about? Yeah. It's unbelievable to me.
You're absolutely. And listen, we will let you go.
I do have to one note thing. You know, I came from a safe home and would go to my prep school where everybody was,
not safe.
Not safe. It was a horror show where every boy went after every other boy and tried to make sure he beat the hell out of him. Everybody's got a different experience.
Brandy, listen, thank you for your time. Thank you for fighting for us on the property tax issue.
We appreciate it.
You're
one of the good guys.
Thank you guys. And thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate you.
All right. Same. Likewise too. Thank you.
Take care.
Representative Brandy.
Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. And we will be keeping everybody posted on the property tax thing, because you're right. I mean, no one actually cares about us.
Well, the last part about that is, okay, it goes to the voters and the voters refuse it. Well, how do you think the voters are going to feel the following year when they get the property tax bill? Think they'll kind of go, well, I love those Democrats. I really do.
Well, exactly.
So the Republicans really have a win-win, which they will transfer into a lose-lose.
That's right. Okay, switching gears.
Switching gears.
RFK did, as all the rumors, I mean, there have been so many rumors. I was like, I'm not going to believe it till I see it. Did indeed, and I've got sound here that will play. A couple of things I want to go. He did indeed drop out of the race, endorsed Donald Trump, gave a heck of a speech, explaining why he was dropping out, why he was turning away from the Democrat Party. A speech, by the way, which CNN, ABC, MSNBC all dropped out of once he started talking about that. And if you look on their websites, all you see is him being attacked by Democrats, right? Nothing about what he had to say. I want to talk a little bit about Tucker Carlson summed this up. The DNC, I mean, I could not believe Kamala Harris's lies, right? And the Beyonce thing, all of that. It's like, I want to talk about the Democrat lies. And then finally, we do have a funny video. It's an AI generated video between Kamala Harris and Tim Watts. So that's what we got coming up. But first, to RFK Jr. He did indeed drop out. He pulled himself, this is interesting, off of the ballot in 10 red states. He's staying on the ballot in blue states, which I'm assuming is Colorado, hoping then to hurt the Democrats that. Apparently, he tried to reach out to Kamala Harris, and they like wouldn't even return his phone call. And I don't know, because you can't really do phone calls. I think Kamala can't.
They thought he was a journalist.
Yeah, they thought he was a journalist. Yeah, really. So they're not doing it. But he gave a heck of a speech. So I want to play a soundbite. He's explaining why, as a Democrat, number one, he ran as an independent, and why he is now turning away from the Democrat Party. Thomas, if we could please play RFK number one.
As you know, I left that party in October because it had departed so dramatically from the core values that I grew up with. It had become the party of war, censorship, corruption, big pharma, big tech, big ag, and big money. When it abandoned democracy by canceling the primary to conceal the cognitive decline of the sitting president, I left the party to run as an independent.
And he went on to talk about all the ways the Democrats, I mean, everything that they used to be for, they're not now, right? And then he had this to say. So if we could please play RFK number two.
Three great causes drove me to enter this race in the first place, primarily. And these are the principal causes that persuaded me to leave the Democratic Party and run as an independent. And now to throw my support to President Trump. The causes were free speech, a war in Ukraine, and the war on our children.
So with that, he endorsed Donald Trump. Your take, Chuck, on what that means for the race? I mean, I think it's good news.
Great news. I mean, it's absolutely great news. I mean, he won't make a more than a 1% difference in some key states, and that may be the whole election. It's not going to be a 5 or 6 point swing, but it may be a 1 or 2% swing. And in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, that may be the whole election. So it's enormous one. And it does allow people who said, well, I don't like Trump, but I don't like Biden, to kind of go, well, now it's Kamala. And Kamala is much a puppet of Obama and those who control it, in the intelligence community. And so they're like, okay, I don't love Trump, but I guess I'll vote for him over Kamala. And he doesn't need to take very many. So in those key states, his dropping out and endorsing Trump and pushing for Trump is going to make a difference. How much of a difference? I guess that's the whole deal. Okay. But it's encouraging. And because if you look at the polls, often Trump does worse in the five-person race, which includes Cornel West, Jill Stein, Trump, and Kamala, which means that a lot of those votes that are happening are going in those states to JFK Jr. and away from Trump. So I think this is going to be a great at a time in which they really need a little boost.
Well, I think
this is a boost.
A bunch of things. Yeah, I think it's not so much the endorsement, although I think that's important, as it is him dropping out. Because I think a lot of people seem to feel, probably correctly, that he would probably take votes away from Trump.
In various states.
In various states. The other thing I think that is brilliant about this is it completely kind of steals the political thunder from the joy of Kamala Harris and the DNC. Don't you think? I mean, I think the timing is brilliant, right? Everybody is talking about this, right?
Well, not everybody.
The networks aren't, but no one's watching
this
them anyway.
I was listening to Sean Hannity, and his thing came on at 1 o'clock, just after RFK had made a speech, and he spent 20 minutes talking about his view of Kamala, which everybody's heard 1,000 times, and then he finally killed the lead and got to RFK. But that's an indication of somebody just doesn't get it. That think everybody want to hear for the 15th time from a radio talk show host what he thinks on a subject they've heard, and right, to kill the lead. And you know, that's a problem of the Republican Party and radio hosts like
not
Sean Hannity.
No. This is from Jacob from this is on Fox News. RFK Jr.'s running mate says Democrats are terrified their campaign may join forces with Trump. And by the way, she has a lot of money. You can tell they're terrified. Like I said, they're freaking out about it. They're talking about how awful he is, how bad he is, how he's not a real Kennedy. The real Kennedys hate him, blah, 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 blah. I mean, they're freaking out about this. And again, the timing is brilliant. The timing.
They said Beyonce doesn't like him either.
And so switching to that, Tucker Carlson had a great, as he always does, analysis. As I was listening, and Chuck bore the brunt of this because I couldn't take it, listening to some of Kamala's speech, I just thought so much of what she was saying was just flat out lies. And I think the whole Beyonce thing epitomizes the Democrat Party. So all day long yesterday, they were leaking. There was speculation, that was leaked that a special guest was going to make an appearance and that it might be Taylor Swift or that it might be Beyonce. Then TMZ, which is a completely corrupt liberal media hack site, right, comes out and says they've confirmed that it's Beyonce. Now, at this point, Beyonce knows the truth. The DNC knows the truth. TMZ knows the truth. All the other media outlets know the truth, right? If you're Beyonce, you don't just go to like sneak in and no one knows you're coming, right? They got to schedule you. The teleprompter people have to have it. So hundreds and hundreds of people knew the truth about this, including media people, right? But they all dutifully reported the lies to keep people watching to the end of the DNC because they said she was going to come, the surprise guest was going to come after Kamala Harris, which on its face doesn't make sense, right? You have the balloon drop, you have all of that. Now what, you're going to have a special guest? But anyway.
But all those same people also told you that Biden was sharp as a tack.
They told you the Hunter Biden laptop
was Russian
disinformation.
They don't care.
No, and that's the point. So when Beyonce didn't show up, no one said a word, right?
No.
There was no one said TMZ. If you go to TMZ's website, there was at the very late last night, a little teeny apology, nothing on it now. Nobody worked to straighten. At first, it's typical Democrat. What they do is they create a lie to serve some purpose. Then they leak the lie to the media. The media knows it's a lie, but they repeat it anyway. They repeat it over and over and over again. And then when it is clearly demonstrated to be a lie, they just move on. No one says, I'm sorry. Absolutely. No one says,
Russiagate, how many apologies did you get from by the media, by Comey, by all the rest of them? Zero.
Right. And
zero.
This is
the appeal surprises. Be taken away from the New York Times? No, they deserve those. They did a great job deceiving their readers.
I mean, it's just, but that's a Democratic Party, and that's it in a nutshell. And that's their supporters. None of their supporters were mad. None of their supporters, I mean, some people on Twitter who were probably conservatives were mad, right? But no, Beyonce's campaign, nobody reached out and said, no, wait, that's not true. She's not coming here, right? Taylor Swift must have threatened to because they quickly backed away from Taylor Swift. There was a funny tweet. It was like Leon Panetta. Somebody was saying, oh, Leon Panetta was a special speaker. So it was like, I'll always remember where I was.
Leon Panetta was, you can think of Joe Biden, but slightly more cognitive. I mean, Leon Panetta was pathetic.
Thing was pathetic, which is why they needed to,
they needed another 100,000 balloons.
They needed to boost their numbers, so they create this lie. And again, typical Democrats, they lie. They know it's a lie. The media knows it's a lie. Everyone goes in on the lie. The lie is clearly exposed, and then they all move on.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. And then they move on to the next lie.
Yeah.
And Tucker Carlson had a great take on this. And so I pulled a part of this too. So Thomas, if we could please play the Tucker soundbite.
Consider what he intends to do if we give him power again. Consider his explicit intent to set free violent extremists who assaulted those law enforcement officers at the Capitol. His explicit intent to jail journalists, political opponents, and anyone he sees as the enemy.
Can I just interject here for a second? This woman's really scary. She could easily get elected president. She's much more skillful than I have ever seen. She's a liar on the deepest level. The things she is saying right now are not just untrue. They're the opposite of the truth, which is the hallmark of evil. She's an extremist. She'll say anything. She's much more like Gavin Newsom than I ever realized. I could go through a whole litany of why what she's saying is not true. It wasn't an armed mob. There's not one person inside the Capitol with a firearm, period. The only person who was shot in the Capitol was an unarmed woman shot by one of Nancy Pelosi's bodyguards. So again and again, she's telling us that she fought the cartels to secure the border. She's the border czar, and the border is controlled by the cartels.
She argued that Donald Trump, quote, tried to throw away your vote. Didn't the Democrat Party just throw away all the votes and install her?
Well, exactly. She's saying that Donald Trump will free from prison violent extremists, meaning like 75-year-old lower middle class women with diabetes, when she endorsed defunding the police and opening the prisons to allow actual criminals out, which is why the crime rate has spiked, to allow the population of Venezuela's prisons, Caracas's prisons, are now living in the United States because of her. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, and I don't want to sound like I'm whining or fact-checking, which I hate, but what she's saying is the mirror image of the truth. She doesn't care. She's got no reference points in the truth, and she's an extremist. And she's a former prosecutor, and no former prosecutor should hold power, period. I've covered them my whole life. I've intensely disliked every single one of them.
But I don't want to be a downer, because I think this RFK Jr. news is good, right? And yes. I think Brandi Bradley is fighting the great fight. So I don't want to be a total downer.
At least
downer.
There's some in the legislature that didn't know it.
But I do think, though, this is important, because again, the Beyonce thing is just sort of a popular example of it, or a popular news example of it, but the Democrats lie and they get away with it because the media supports them, right? And this is what worries me, Chuck. So we look at the election, right? And we look at the millions of illegal aliens. We look at the fact that the Democrats did have all of their ballot fraud, right?
Right.
And nothing happened to them. And you look at the current crime situation, right? We see in Denver all the time now, somebody is a homeless drug addict. They break in. We talked about my daughter's boyfriend's business, right? They break in, they call the cops. Cops say we can't be there, right? And then they come hours later, and then the homeless people come back the next day and break in. The cops are like, we're too busy, we can't be there. They go away, they come back again and steal stuff. The cops finally arrest them. They're out the next day back stealing stuff. These criminals know there are no repercussions. There's no accountability. They can keep doing what they did over and over and over, and they're never going to have any kind of repercussions for it. I fear that the Democrats they're not even pretending anymore, right? They didn't even pretend that they made a mistake about Beyonce. Kamala Harris is, she knows, as Tucker Carlson said, it's a complete and total lie, those things she just said. It's the opposite of the truth.
Yeah, you don't have to fact check her, because it's so obvious on the face,
right,
that it's lies.
And we know that all of the election integrity issues that we had the last time around, I'm glad Republicans are keeping an eye on it, and I'm glad that we're fighting the fight. But my concern is nothing happened to the Democrats. Joe Biden is still president. Kamala Harris is vice president. And no one will, they have all the George Soros-backed DAs. You have the George Soros-backed secretaries of states. I believe that somebody could probably drive a semi-load of ballots in. The media could all videotape it. They could all be fake. On, say, fake ballot on them, they would count them, announce Kamala the winner, and nothing will be done. I mean, that's where I think the Democrats, because they know that, right?
If George Soros were a Republican, how many indictments would he have against him?
Oh, yeah. Well, and as Johnny says, they're paying their internet influences. Yeah, I mean, nothing about the Democrats is, and politics is politics, I get that. But this is what worries me. And this is, I think, why we have to be careful. And I know it gets tedious calling out the lies, but if somebody has to be paying attention, right? Some of us have to be saying, not true, not true, not true. Because if you don't, if you just are silent and say, oh, well, if you just allow yourself to be overwhelmed by the lies that they're telling, by the scams that they're pulling on us, they're going to continue to do it. At least you have to stand up, I think, and be like, I don't know, the twig in the tsunami or something like that. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I think that a lot more people, including the listeners to this program, realize that if the Democrats are saying it is some tricky version of it. How many people believe the Democrats are the red, white, and blue group, incredibly patriotic? They love our country. They love our kids. They hate our country, and they hate everything it stands for.
Right. Well, and they're trying to be Trump. And I think that's where there is hope, right? Because fewer and fewer people are listening to the media because they know their lies. And I think fewer people, that's what they had to make up the Beyonce lie to do that too. So that's just something I think, and we'll talk about it. And because it does.
Oscar is back there agreeing with you.
That's right.
Of course.
And this being Party Friday, I found this soundbite. Whoever does these AI generated things, I know everyone's like AI is going to destroy the world, but in the meantime, it's going to be a funny. So this is the conversation between Kamala Harris and Timothy Walz when she called and offered him the job of vice president nominee. If we could please play the Harris Walz soundbite.
Hi, this is Tim.
It's Kamala Harris. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning, Madam Vice President.
Listen, you weren't my first choice. To be honest, you weren't even in my top 10. But no one else wants to run as my VP because they all know I'm going to lose. You are the only one who is willing to be my running mate.
Yeah, I mean, this is basically career suicide. But I did some dumb shit a few years back, and now I'm totally controlled by the deep state. And so they told me either I become your running mate or I get Epstein in a New York prison.
Now, the fact that we're both radical communists is a slight problem, but I got some instructions from Big Daddy Barack. Basically, we're going to pretend that you're a normal American white guy. There's a bunch of things you did that we got to run away from here. You passed a law requiring tampons in the boys' bathroom in schools. You basically cheered on the George Floyd rioters who burned down your cities. You implemented a snitch hotline during COVID. And Tim, you signed a law that allows the state to take custody of children if their parents refuse to let them transition. I mean, what the f***, Tim? We got a lot of cleanup to do here. But listen, we already got the mainstream media gaslighting America into thinking that you're super normal.
This is America's dad, America's football coach, and the teacher that's cool enough without trying to be cool.
A lot of people have noticed the sort of down-to-earth, likable quality to him.
He's very moderate in Congress.
A moderate Democrat. Centrist, but a more centrist,
kind of a centrist Midwesterner in persona.
That's pretty funny because I'm weird as f***.
Americans are dumb, Tim. They'll believe anything we tell them.
They are so dumb, right?
They think I'm black. Okay, so here's the plan. In order to hide your own weirdness, we want you to accuse Trump and J.D. Vance of being weird. Just say it over and over again.
Weird, 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 weird. And then they start being weird. They're weird, 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 weird. Donald Trump's weirdness. Very weird, weird. It's just too weird. It's weird, weird. Okay, so how far left are we admitting to being here? Like, are we openly woke?
We have to stay woke. Like, everybody needs to be woke. And you can talk about if you're the wokest or woker, but just stay more woke than less woke. Yeah. No. We're flip-flopping on everything right now. We want to keep the voters confused. You know when your GPS suddenly starts rerouting inexplicably and you have no idea where you're going and you're afraid your GPS might just drive you off a cliff? We're exactly like that.
What do we say if reporters ask us about policy stuff?
Oh, we're not taking questions from reporters, Tim. We're not prepared for that. But if you do find yourself in a tricky spot with a reporter, just cackle.
Cackle.
Yeah, you know, cackle.
You're considered the most liberal United States senator.
Somebody said that, and it actually was Mike Pence on the debate stage.
So that was long, I know, but I thought that was funny.
No,
it's not true. It's like American people are dumb. They'll believe anything. We're flip-flopping. We're going to tell them we're the party of joy. I think that's so funny when she said they actually think I'm black. It's like
right. Cackle when you're nervous. You got to cackle.
Keep the fight, guys. It's like, you know, as long as there is humor out there, and thank God for Twitter, right? I think when you look at when Brandi Bradley says, you know, God is on our side, there are things happening and you have to look for signs and embrace them when you see them. And I think there are plenty of signs out there. And RFK, I mean, and the timing on that was perfect,
it
right?
Is. It's great. So, you know, it's a 50-50 race right now. And quite frankly, in the past, it's been a 55 or 60, 40 for the Democrat, and then comes election day, and it's very close. So to be at a 50-51, they're going to have to try some and great tricks and great ones, and they're going to be able to do it. I mean, they've got a lot of bright people who spent all their time figuring out great ways, especially, you know, right verbiage. You know, have you noted abortion is no longer a word? It's been removed from the dictionary. It is now reproductive rights. That sounds much better than abortion. Reproductive rights. It doesn't sound like you're killing an unborn child. It just sounds like a right.
The thing that they still have to fight. Oh, hey, Barney, you can weigh in real quick. We got a couple of minutes.
I know. I thought they called it women's health when we're talking about killing
babies. Oh, that's right. It's women's health.
Real quick about RFK. they're telling us how it's not going to help Trump that much, blah, blah, blah. Why in the hell, if it wasn't, they would have kept him on every ballot. If they thought he was going to hurt Trump, they'd have supported him 100%. There's no way that this doesn't. I mean, I don't know how good it's going to be for Trump, but it obviously is going to hurt them a bunch. If you just think about, they're still suing him. They're suing the crap out of him. So anyway, I just had to get that out there. I like it. I don't agree with it. Appreciate it. All right. See you. Bye.
Critical thinking. Hey, that will wrap it up for us in this.
All right. As it always does. We're
talking about Monday. We've got
Monday.
We've got Darcy Schoening coming on Monday to kind of talk about Dave Williams is getting attacked for all the, not doing anything, and she's going to talk about how hard the Republican Party and Republicans are working to get candidates elected.
Well, Trader Todd is really helping, really against the Democrats. Yeah, it sure is.
We'll keep that up. But anyway, that Friday, that'll do it for us. Thank you,
everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Have fun.